You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Let us unite in prayer. Our Father, we thank Thee that mercifully Thou hast come to us in Jesus Christ, offering us the gift of redemption, the forgiveness of our sins, and eternal and abundant life. We thank Thee that in the midst of our busy days, Thou dost sometimes surprise us with Thy presence and some new revelation of Thy love, and that we find in the presence of Thy Spirit renewal for our lives, the gift of Thy strength for our weakness, of Thine ever-failing love to come at the point of our sin and our need of forgiveness. And we find that we are able to exchange our fatigue for the renewal of energy in Thy Spirit. We are grateful that Thou dost fill us with the joy of life. And help us, we pray Thee, that our lips may be open, that our tongues may be loosed, that we may praise Thee, that we may praise Thee now in worship, and that we may praise Thee constantly in witness, as by word and deed and by the totality of our lives, we give expression to the wonderful thing which Thou hast done for us and to us and in us in Jesus Christ. We thank Thee for those who join with us in this same precious faith, and in this same experience of the abundant life in Christ throughout the world. For those who in the most adverse and difficult of circumstances still give witness to the deep abiding joy and peace that is ours in the gift of the Spirit. We thank Thee for this brother who comes to minister to us this morning, and we pray Thy blessings upon him and upon us through his ministry. And grant that this may be a time of spiritual blessing for us and of renewal of our deep vows of dedication to Thee. We remember to pray for the coming missions conference on our campus this weekend. We pray for all who are to participate, for those who lead, that they may be led and empowered by Thy Holy Spirit, and for the students who are coming to be our guests, that there may be such a sense of Thy presence and such a new vision of Thy truth and Thy love that we shall all be made better, more responsible, more intelligent, more devoted Christians. And we ask all of this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. It is our privilege to have as our speaker this morning one of our own fellow students, Mr. Philip Asirvatam, who is a native of Andhra Pradesh in South India, but whose work is in the city of Vellore in the state of Madras, again in South India. Mr. Asirvatam, whom we better know as Philip, was educated at Madras Christian College and at the United Theological College in Bangalore, and for some time has been one of the chaplains in a very remarkable Christian institution in South India, in the city of Vellore, the Christian Medical College and Hospital there. A very large hospital and college for the training of medical personnel and a pioneering sort of medical enterprise. Mr. Asirvatam has a family which he has left behind in India. His wife is on the staff of the hospital in Vellore, working in the rehabilitation of leprosy patients, a very fine and wonderful work which my own family and I had the privilege of witnessing in India. And he has brought to us, leaving behind his wife and three wonderful children, he has brought to us a quality of joy and brotherliness and vibrant Christian witness in the Holy Spirit, which he has brought as a gift to us from India. Mr. Asirvatam is himself, in a unique way, a product of the Christian missionary enterprise, because he was adopted by an American missionary nurse to be her child when he was but an infant of a few days. We're delighted to have him on our campus, and we're privileged to have him to lead us now in our worship.
Thank you, Dr. Copeland. For our meditation this morning, I would like to read a passage from Psalm 61. Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me, and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings. For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Thou wilt prolong the king's life and his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. O prepare mercy and truth, which may preserve him. So will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. I thank the good Lord for giving me this opportunity to come to this country and also to Southeastern Baptist Seminary to spend a year with you all. I also thank the administrative staff of this seminary for giving me an opportunity to study here. I bring greetings in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ from 1,035,000 Christians and 850 ministers of Church of South India. The Church of South India is a united church of Anglican, Episcopalians, Presbyterians, Congregationalists, Methodists, Church of Scotland in the southern states of India, and they were united in the year 1947. For our meditation this morning, I have taken the later part of verse 2 from Psalm 61. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Since I was planning to come to this country, last summer I took my family to a hill resort. In the evenings, we went for walks. My son, who is just 6 years old, always used to go and try to climb rocks, which were too difficult for him to do. And many a times, he asked my help, and with great difficulty, I had to climb the rocks and pull him up. And this experience has really given me what David meant when he wrote, "Lead me to the rock that is higher than I." He started his life as a shepherd boy and ends as a king, as he was lifted by God from nothing to something. He was called the man of God's own mind. I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He is not asking God to give him an easy way, but a difficult way. Today, when a preacher he is called to a church, his first thoughts are, what would be the remuneration? How big is the parsonage if I accept this call? He is our first thoughts. We think of what the church can give to us rather than what we can give to the church. When I arrived in New York last September, I had to go to the bus terminal to catch a bus to come to Wake Forest. When I was at the terminal with a friend of mine, for the first time, I saw something moving up and coming down. And when I asked him what they were, he said that they were escalators. A person had just to stand on them and they will go up. And if they want to come down, they have to just step on it and it will bring them down. In some of the homes that I was privileged to visit, I saw them using electric brushes. They had just to hold it and the brush cleans the teeth. I won't be surprised that in few years, we will invent electric spoon and forks that we just have to go and sit in front of a dining table and the electric spoon and fork would feed us. In this civilization, man is inventing ways and means to get things done without even lifting his finger. It is not only true of our daily life, but it is true of our service to God. But here, we find David asking God to give him difficulties so that he can completely trust in him. In the Holy Bible, there are many mountains and rocks mentioned, but since our personality is made up of body, mind, and soul, I would like to speak on three mountains on which man received salvation for the whole personality, body, mind, and soul. First, let us consider Mount Ararat. Mount Ararat. It was on this mountain the ark which Noah made came and rested on the 17th day of the seventh month. It was here Noah and his family were saved after the flood. When God saw the wickedness of man increasing, though he was created in his own image, he found only one who was righteous in his sight, and that was Noah. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord because he walked with God. God commanded Noah to build an ark, and after it was completed, he asked him to take his wife, three sons, and their wives, male and female of animals, fowls, and creeping creatures into the ark, and sent rain for 40 days and 40 nights, which drowned the whole humanity. The water remained on the earth for 150 days, and after that, the boat rested on Mount Ararat. It was here that Noah and his family were saved bodily. It was the salvation of the body. Secondly, Mount Sinai. Mount Sinai. It was on this mountain that Jehovah appeared to Moses, who was called to lead the Israelites from bondage in Egypt to freedom in the land of Palestine, which flowed with milk and honey, and spoke to him and gave the Ten Commandments for his chosen people to follow. The Israelites, after they were led through the Red Sea, when they were hungry, God sent manna from heaven. When they were thirsty, he gave them water to drink from the rock. Yet they murmured against Moses and Jehovah and wanted him to take them back to Egypt into bondage again. Though the people once again rebelled against him, Moses pleaded with Jehovah on Mount Sinai, and there they were given moral laws to save their morality. In this campus, we are so busy that we do not have time for the moral responsibilities of the members here. Sometime back, I happened to go to one of the dormitories to see if a student had come back from weekend. Since I did not hear any answer to my knock, I went to the third room in the same section where there were two students. I asked them whether that particular student had returned from weekend. And I am sorry to say that their answer was that they did not know him. We are so busy that we have only time to say, "Hello, how are you?" And before that person could answer how he is, we are 10 or 15 yards away from him. I do not know how many of us have even time for our morning devotions, when they have 3 tests a week or 3 tests a day, we read so much about the Bible that we do not have time to read the Bible. And I know that because of heavy work in this campus, some of the students do not find even time to come to chapel. I do not mean that it should be so. I wish if all our professors could get together at the beginning of each semester and tell one another what they expect of each student in their particular subject and when they would give their weekly or monthly tests, so that the others may not have tests in the same week, that we may have some time in this campus to become friends with others and know them better, and even if it is necessary, to help them spiritually, which is more important in our life today. We have moral obligation for one another. On Mount Ararat, it was the salvation of the body, and at Mount Sinai, it was the salvation of mind or morality. Thirdly, and lastly, Mount Golgotha. Mount Golgotha. It was on this mountain, the place of the skull, where Jesus Christ was crucified for the sake of you and for me. Jesus was betrayed by one of his own chosen disciples among the 12, Judas Iscariot. When Jesus was brought before Pilate, we know that he found no sin in him, but he cared more for the popularity and had to yield to the mob's cry, "Release Barabbas, crucify Jesus." It was to this steep hill of Golgotha Jesus struggled to carry the wooden cross. It was on this mountain he was crowned with thorns and crucified, and it was here he died in the midst of two thieves. The wages of sin is death, and it was this death that Jesus died, not for his sins, but for our sins. But for his death on the cross on Golgotha, we would be still in darkness and in sin. It was on this mountain our souls are saved. Dear friends, do we have the experience of Mount Ararat, Mount Sinai, and Mount Golgotha? It is only through these experiences of Mount Ararat and Mount Sinai and Mount Golgotha could our own personality be saved. Our body, mind, and soul can only be saved through these experiences. St. Paul in his Philippians letter says, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." We know that in our own times, Dr. Paul Carlson gave his life in serving the Lord in Congo. Are we prepared for a narrow way? As it was mentioned, I work in a 1,000 church-centered hospital as one of the chaplains in India. About a year back, a patient by name Mr. Chako, who happens to be in charge of an orphanage for boys, was one day supervising a new building which was coming up. And suddenly, he slipped and fell down and broke his spinal cord. He was brought to our hospital in a very serious condition. After his admission, I happened to go and visit him. Mr. Chaco asked me, "Chaplain, could you read to me a few passages from the book of Job?" I read a few passages from the Bible, from the book of Job. And before I left him, I asked, "Mr. Chaco, would you like me to pray for you?" And he said he would certainly like me to pray for him. And in my prayer, I asked God if it was his will to stretch forth his healing hand and touch Mr. Chaco and heal him. After the prayer, Mr. Chaco looked at me and said, "Chaplain, thank you for your prayer, but I don't want you to pray like that for me. My suffering this day is nothing compared to what Job suffered in the past. And I know to what work I have been called. I have served my Savior faithfully. Please pray that I may die soon. I am very anxious to go to my Lord, and I am happy that this has come to me, because I will go to my Lord earlier than what I thought." Friends, are we prepared? Can we say that the Lord, who has given us life and life abundant, who has called us to serve him, are we prepared to say, "We have done for which we are in this world, and we are prepared to go into glory"? There is only one person who can save the whole world, and that is none other than Christ himself. I would like to end with a chorus. I know that all of you can sing better than me, but yet I would like to sing the chorus which I sang on the day of my baptism, and that has been a song in my life even today. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back, no turning back, no turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me. No turning back, no turning back, no turning back, no turning back. Give me Jesus and take the whole world. Give me Jesus and take the whole world. Give me Jesus and take the whole world. No turning back, no turning back, no turning back, no turning back. Friends, let this be our experience each day of our life. Let us pray. Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make us perfect in every good work to do his will, working in us that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever.